The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
On your soul.
It does.
It does.
Is there an echo in here?
Is there an echo in here?
We went to a fundraiser last night, didn't we?
We certainly did.
Sally said I really had a good time.
Yeah, a lot of people said you had a good time.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Terry Raposa, my partner, Wynn Carpenter.
Good morning.
We are here with our trusted producer, Ashley. How are you, my dear?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing good. You're doing fantastic?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's a good day.
It's a good day in Jefferson.
It's a good day in Jefferson.
I had the windows rolled down for most of the last couple of days of my drive and all of that. It's just pleasant.
Isn't it nice to have that fresh air?
I love the North State. It's just gorgeous.
And it is. It really is. It's amazing how clean the air is now compared to what it was last year, with all the smoke and everything. But anyway, we are here at KCNR in downtown Reading, your talk radio. You can listen live at 1460 AM or 96.5 FM where the music does sound better.
And when it works.
Your talk radio, or you can listen live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and feel free to listen live. So, this morning, we were scheduled to have on Dr. Cordy Williams, and he is running for the United States Senate for the seat that Padilla was put into when Harris vacated that to become the vice president. Loosely saying the vice president.
Yeah, loose vice president.
So, he should be calling in any time now. In the interim, last night, we had a fundraiser for Mr. Brian Caples, and Brian is running for school superintendent of schools in Shasta County, and we wish him well, and we're excited about that. So I think that we need to be looking at Shasta County now, and we have a lot of people running that are not incumbents and people that want to do the right thing for the community, and I think that's something where we really have to start understanding that it really is going to be our local government first. That is the first thing we need to take back, because that affects you the most. So, you know, with that, we've got, you know, we have other parts of our state that are running. We have Rachel Hamm, who is running for Secretary of State for the state of California. We're going to have her on next Sunday. She'll be on for the hour. But right now we have running for Senate for the United States of America, Dr. Cordy Williams. How are you, brother?
How are you, Terry?
I'm good.
Happy Sunday.
The fun never stops, man.
Ain't that the truth, right? Ain't that the truth? Saving America.
Yes, sir. Hey, why don't you tell folks about yourself, Cordy, and give us a little background.
Yeah, well, I'm a doctor and a dad. I'm a U.S. Marine. Pardon my scratchy voice today, but as you can imagine, I've been speaking everywhere. But yeah, doctor and a dad, U.S. Marine. I've lived in Carlsbad, California, going on probably about 9 years almost now. Two young boys under the age of five, and we've just been serving the community from a chiropractic perspective for about 8 or 9 years now.
Wow. Well, what was it that made you decide to run for Senate of the United States and taking that seat? That's kind of like leaping over tall buildings in a single bound. Now, you've never been in office before, or have you, my friend?
No, and I'm really proud about that, Terry, because people
too
say, well, you have no political experience, and I always say, yeah, I'm not a liar, cheat, and a thief. so I you know, I really pride myself on that, because I don't think conventional politicians, the extorters of the world, because that's what they are. They extort. They don't serve. They extort. And chiropractic, we have a mantra to give, to do, to love, to serve, out of a sense of abundance, expecting nothing in return. And I really think that's what God called us to be, servant leaders and lions and lionesses. And there's very few people in Sacramento and very few people in Washington that espouse to that mantra and actually live their public service that way. And that's what I want to bring back to Washington. So this idea that you have to be a city council member or spend 20 years, you know, the swamp starts when you announce your candidacy. You don't have to get to D.C. to experience the swamp, because the political consultants, the strategists, and the good old boy network is the swamp. And so this idea that you'd want somebody in politics for 20 years where they've, you know, in a lot of cases, lost all their morals, lost all their ethics, in some cases lost Jesus out of their heart, rather than send David, the shepherd boy that had only defeated, I think, a wolf and a bear, send him in with a slingshot to gouge out some eyes and, you know, punch some Adam's apples and make people lean over and fall to their death. You know, I think that's a much-needed thing in D.C. I think that's a much-needed thing in Sacramento as well.
Amen.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I know John Adams, who is arguably one of our best presidents, only was a one-termer. And when he got into a carriage when he was leaving the White House, somebody in the carriage, a gentleman in the carriage that was riding with him, said, "Mr. President," and John said, "No, no, no, I'm not the president anymore. I'm just good old Farmer John." And I think that's such a great statement that he made, and I think you're absolutely correct, Cordy. I think that people need to be statesmen. I think what you're saying is absolutely right. I don't think you have to be in politics to serve the people.
It's better that you weren't.
So what are some...
Yeah, and to answer your question...
Sure.
Sorry, Terry. What I was going to say is, just to add on to that, is you know, a light switch went off, and I've told this story before, but probably, I guess it was January of 2020 at the time, and I'm doing, you know, early morning prayer, and, you know, I say that to say, you know, I represent all the constituents of California without prejudice or bias. I happen to be a Christian, and it doesn't mean I'm perfect and I levitate over Jesus. It just means that I wake up every day and I try to be a better human to whatever degree I can. And so usually in the mornings I meditate, I do some deep breathing, and I read some scriptures. And so one morning I was praying in January of 2020, felt really fulfilled with my life, but I felt like there was something more that God had for me. And then the COVID situation occurred, you know, 14 days to slow the spread, and Scarf Lady and Fauci and, you know, these facial apparatuses, and then we're all supposed to be scared of the flesh-eating bacteria with a 99.9% survival rate, shut down our business, and, you know, it's the world apocalypse. And so when all that happened, you know, there was my wife and I just felt pressed up against a wall. And to try to make a very long story short, we ended up doing protests. The third protest, a video goes viral. It gets 21 million hits. After that, I launched a nonprofit called 1776 Forever Free. And we haven't stopped since. 3 weekends out every month. I think over 120 rallies up and down the state and across the nation. I've been to Maricopa 5 times. Maricopa County. I was one of the lead spokespersons for the recall, on their weekly town hall. I did tons of rallies shoulder to shoulder with Californians, with Orrin Heatley and Mike Netter and a host of others. And, so, you know, after teaching people the Constitution and asking them to run for office, the immediate question back to me was, well, when are you going to run? And it just seems like there's a different consumer. This is a different time and a different climate. And if this seat were going to flip, it would not only need to be a David and Goliath story, but this would be the perfect time because of how angry people are, not because they're red or blue or because of their race, gender, or who they voted for, but because of how angry they are of how mistreated their human rights have been the last 2 years. And so I felt that there was an opening and felt God was telling me to do it. So on November 6th, I announced, and we've out fundraised everybody in our first quarter, last quarter by 80%. One of my opponents had been running for 14 months. We were $40,000 short of catching him. 18 major endorsements. We just won the California Republican Assembly endorsement last weekend, handedly by 85% margin on the first ballot. So God's really presented some amazing opportunities in a window for us to win that second spot and really take it to Padilla.
Now, hey, Cordy, quick question regarding
yes, sir.
Voter integrity here in the great state of California. How do we assure that all the votes for you are accounted for and that you're victorious? How do we make that happen?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. So first of all, what I would say is I'm the only candidate out of 13 that is endorsed by Arizona State Senator Sonny Borelli, which he's been shoulder-to-shoulder with Wendy Rogers since day one, and they've said for over a year that this was going to be a two-and-a-half-year battle. And what I mean by that is canvassing the rolls, getting the rolls cleared out, proving that there was voter fraud. We know there was. It's very obvious. But getting a coloring book out for the Newsoms and, you know, the Mussolinis and Sleepy Creepy Uncle Joe and people like that to prove to them that, hey, there was, in fact, voter fraud. And honestly, to work on these machines and get these machines out. I think what we have to do now, sir, is, you know, we don't have a choice. If you don't vote in 2022, you'll be Venezuela next week. Youngkin and New Jersey showed us if we overwhelm the vote with ticked off mama bears, we can buffer the cheating. And if our viewers out there watched really late, Youngkin was up 300,000 votes, you know the deal. As the race started to close down towards midnight, 1 in the morning, those numbers got really close. And I think that's because there was Dominion machines involved. Now, that being said, the long-term strategy is to decertify this last election. The long-term strategy is to end these machines. But that is a long-term strategy, meaning that is going to take time, and we could lose our republic in the process if everybody just sat on their hands and said, I'm not voting. So I think voter turnout is really important. Pollsters, like what the CRA is going to do for me, and other people strategically placed throughout the state, but a high, high voter turnout like you've never seen before, like what happened in Virginia, that's how we combat these June 7th primaries and onward to November.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. And, you know, the voters that vote for you will be only the voters from California. And I want to give you a little encouragement because the jurisdiction of those machines is the supervisors in every county in California. They're the ones who have jurisdiction of saying we either keep those machines or we do not. Now, I know in Shasta County, Tehama County, many other counties up here in the north, we've been pushing really hard to have our registrar get rid of those machines, and we are pushing that through the Board of Supervisors who have jurisdiction. So you can hold hope out, my friend, that that is something that's a movement that is starting.
Well, and also, too, hey, Cordy, yeah. One of the things that we found, we did a local recall here in Shasta County, and it was for one of our troubled districts that we had a really bad representative in that district. So we took it upon ourselves to start the campaign and get the recall rolling and everything else. Well, in validating all of the signatures that they were gathering, that the recall team was gathering, they were finding that there were multiple layers of garbage on our supposed clean district voter registration, according to registrar of voters office. It was supposed to be clean. They keep it maintained. They keep it nice and tidy. Well, no, the people that were taking the time, and they were working really, really hard to make sure that we validated every single signature, and they found a lot of problems in that district.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just one district out of the five in our county that we know of. So what does that tell us for the other four districts? It could be just the same hot mess. So that's why I asked that question, because we want to make sure that every valid vote is accounted for. The invalid votes are thrown out and dismissed. And then if people are doing it illegally, they're held to that account. They're arrested for voter fraud. And we want to make sure that that occurs. That's what needs to happen, because nobody in our county should be messing with our votes. I don't care whether it's a registrar of voters, board of supervisors, or the public in general, or somebody paid to vote criminally. I think they all should be held accountable.
Agreed. And I think, gentlemen, that's why it's so important that the independent type of real journalism like you guys are doing, or Epic Times or Gateway Pundit, that we get the word out, because there's just been so much institutional brainwashing that's occurred over 20, 30, 40 years. And it's straight out of the Communist Manifesto, the Marxist playbook. And what I've always tried to tell people, and I've had some great conversations with just random people that I could tell were staunch Democrats, is this isn't a partisan issue. This is just a human issue. Whether you talk medical freedom, whether you talk election integrity, like fast forward 20 years, where all your rights are stripped away. The party at that point doesn't matter. When you're standing in a bread line talking to Mussolini and waiting for your socialist check to buy your kids diapers, at that point, the party doesn't matter. Who was right doesn't matter. Everybody loses in that scenario. And so I think it's so important for people to understand that voter integrity is not a red Republican issue. It's a human one to save our kids. And that's the same thing. I'm a diehard Trump guy, a diehard Jesus guy. But at the end of the day, you know, the other side wants to make this a left and right issue. But as Ronald Reagan said when he opened up for Barry Goldwater in 1964, it's not a left or right issue. It's an up or down issue. Are you better off now than you were 15 months ago? And I think if you objectively assess the status of your life and the status of California, you can just you can completely say, no, I'm not. Things are worse off. And that's what we need to think about as Californians, and certainly as Americans as well.
Amen.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I know that we really have to start changing our rhetoric. We really do, because I hear over and over again, and we've done a lot of speaking engagements, Wynn and I have done many, many of those. And when we've done them, we always ask people, do you have constitutional rights? And every hand in the room goes up. But what we have to do is use the right terminology. We don't have constitutional rights. We have God-given rights that are protected by the Constitution. The Constitution is the line in the sand. And where you're going, to the Senate of the United States, your jurisdiction is going to be federal. And what has to do within the purview of the Constitution as far as federal issues go. What would be one of the first things you'd like to do if you were to be elected?
Well, I think the big thing that the last 2 years have presented is the gap in the hole that we have in the checks and balances around our amendments, but in particular our First Amendment. I mean, you look at how many people, when I speak all over California, when I've gone all over the nation, you hear these stories from Americans and Californians where their ADA rights and HIPAA rights were just trampled on without any regard the last 2 years. You know, even this vaccine passport nonsense, you know, that was, and I think still is in some areas of LA County, still going on. The fact that somebody, you know, a flight attendant, a server, can all of a sudden become the expert of health and just trample on your First Amendment right is insane to me. So I think there needs to be strong legislation put forth, at a federal level that checks these governors, these tyrannical dictators that are out there that are trying to trample on federal law. I mean, we shouldn't. It's common sense what a medical exemption is. It's common sense what a religious exemption is. But people like Mussolini, they almost need to be given a coloring book to understand, almost like a little second grader, a little baby. My 3-year-old probably has more common sense than Newsom has. They need to be reminded of, hey, this is a medical exemption, this is a religious exemption, this is what it covers, and this is who can sign it. And if you do A, B, C, and D to trample on that, here's what's going to happen. We're going to cut funding here, we're going to cut funding there, we're going to prevent your state from getting this. I think that's the most important thing, because outside of, I think the top three issues that we have that are a huge threat to our republic, our immigration, voter integrity, and medical freedom. Because they all, if they're used the wrong way by these Luciferians, it'll lead us right into communism. You know, you think about illegal immigration, people coming in, and now you have an untapped kind of, I'll say, what's the term? You almost have the minor leagues. That's what I was thinking of. You have a minor league recruiting system for free votes or extra votes, especially if the voter rolls aren't cleared and cleaned up. And then roll that into the machines, another way of making sure you get a supermajority like we have in Sacramento, or pretty darn close to it. And then medical freedom, dumb people down, control their activity, limit where they can move and where they can go and how they can assemble. And now you essentially control the society. You control the people. I think the tip of the spear is medical freedom.
Well, yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. I think all your points are well taken. The issue is that the states have to adopt it. I mean, the states have to adopt these mandates, yeah. And many states are not adopting these mandates. We happen to be in a state, my friend, that creates their own, and each county, I know even the counties now are starting to rescind the emergency order, the county emergency orders. And these mandates are something we're following. You were talking about it, but you made a good point, because really the only jurisdiction you would have to put these states back in line is withholding funding. What would that look like? And I want to let you know we have about 3 minutes till our first break. So if you give us a little bit on that, what would that look like as far as the types of funds you would withhold, and what would be your thought process on that?
Well, I think public health departments, you know, that what Newsom's been doing a while, and you can certainly see this in San Francisco, with, you know, incentivizing the homeless and, you know, incentivizing them, you know, pretty much with their great needle programs that they do, that I don't know where Mussolini got that. I'm sure he got it from that idiot up in Seattle. But you know, they think that the way to end homelessness and everybody injecting heroin into their veins is to give them more needles. You know, when you take away the other side's ability to create more anarchy, you know, I think that's really where there's a lot of political capital there.
Well, yeah.
And so if I was going to cut funding in any way, it would be towards some of these public health initiatives that they're doing that are not helping our homelessness.
Are you talking about the federal ones?
Our drug problems.
Are you talking about federal? Because the money for the health departments and the counties, that's all funded with discretionary spending. The state gives back to the county about 80. They give back the money that we send in. We get our money back. About 87% of that money is mandated by the state to spend on certain things. Then you have 13% for each county for, like you're saying, for public health. Okay, so that in Shasta County is half of our budget. It's $300 million out of a $600 million budget. So, again, federally, and maybe we'll take this up after the break, but that's good, but federally, what can you do? Because your jurisdiction will be there. But anyway, my friend, we're going to go off to our first break so that we can come back, and then we will be back with Dr. Cordy Williams, who is running for the Senate of the United States of America for California. We'll be back in just a minute. Time has come.
For 51.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Stand and deliver. You've let them put the fear on you. Stand and deliver. Not a word you heard is true. And if there's nothing you can say, there may be nothing you can do.
Good song. Good song. Did Sally send that one in?
Yes, she did.
She did.
This is Stand and Deliver, performed by Eric Clapton, written by Van Morrison.
Oh, Sally, good one, honey. That's my wife, Cordy, who does the music. Sends the music in, buddy.
I love that.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, staying in the realm of the jurisdiction of a senator, Wynn would like to ask you some questions about the water issue, which is federal jurisdiction.
Yeah, hey, Cordy,
I'd like to finish that last question, gentlemen.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's no problem. Go ahead, bud. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to elaborate on that.
Sure.
No, I think that what I was getting at is obviously, and whether it's a statewide bill or whether it's a federal bill, from a budgetary standpoint, you know, it's interesting how much, you know, we saw this in COVID. We saw this with the different pork barrel funded, you know, the bureaucracies that are just everywhere in our country at the state level and the federal level. And how these governors were being incentivized for essentially people dying. You know, the more that you put an oxygen mask on somebody or put something down their throat in a hospital during COVID, you know, I think in New York they were getting $40,000. I think per person in California, Newsom was getting $20,000 for each person that died of COVID, where they had to go in on their last days to a hospital setting. So my point was, as there's a lot of money that is thrown away. There's a lot of federal spending that is out of control. And I just think that when we speak in the realm of kind of putting some type of handcuffs on people like Newsom, when we talk about putting handcuffs on the state, and when we talk about giving people their freedom back around their ADA and HIPAA rights, certainly it's almost like we're just reminding. The only check and balance we really have is to remind these people of that First Amendment, what it entails, and allow the general public to hopefully, you know, it's kind of like Trump did, an executive order. First executive order was for George Washington to give a turkey around Thanksgiving to the troops. Executive orders are BS. But what happens is, as you guys know, they've been grandfathered in. And so instead of the House and the Senate passing laws, you get a tyrannical dictator like Biden that says, well, we're going to do an executive order with this. Well, wait a second. Why is everybody treating that mandate as a law? And so I just think that reminding them of that First Amendment is really one of the only powers that really we have, putting legislation through that does that. But then looking from a public health perspective, where is there waste where if we were to restrict that or take that away, it would not only hurt certain areas of the state where there are overtures and expenditures there, but people would kind of think twice. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, on multiple stages around California and across the nation, I've talked about, I think the next, not politician, but servant, is going to have to use civil disobedience to really get anything done.
Yeah, good point.
Because the idea with a supermajority in Sacramento or in the U.S. House and Senate, and particularly the House, because it's a little bit closer in the Senate, almost 50-50, you know, with these majorities that they have and basically the power structure being rigged and controlled, like lawsuits are great, but they control the court system. So what do you do? How do you push somebody's political hand? Do you wait 5, 10 years, 15 years? Like how long does it take to do it through lawsuits or to do it politically without some way of forcing their hand? And I think Southwest Airlines and the truckers,
yes,
not just from a statewide standpoint, but national standpoint,
yes,
showed us the power of assembling people and getting them in front of these dictators' faces and pushing their hand. There's political capital that's not being tapped into there.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Those are really good points.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. It's sort of like, you know, we're going to have, you know, it's just like you're saying, how come this is happening? How come that's happening? It's because we let them. You know, I've often thought that maybe we need a fourth branch of government, Cordy. Maybe what we need is a constitutional compliance committee that makes sure that the elected officials in the House, in the Senate, and in the state houses and the state senates have to comply with the Constitution. And then we wouldn't have to have lawsuits. We should probably have a fourth branch of government. But,
and I know who could head that up.
Yeah.
Chris Ann Hall.
Yeah. Yep. Good idea. She'd be great at that. Her and JC. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, the thing is that you're so right about that, and you're right about, and that's something else too. I mean, that message is really great, my friend, because I like the idea of, see, going right to the people. I think you hit that note when you first started speaking today, talking about going right to the people. It's not so much even about the legislation, it's going to the people. Are you tired of this? Have you had enough yet? What say you?
No, I think that the ability of someone, and that's why we can't, you know, Terry, we've got to stop electing people that are nice guys and, you know, have, oh, well, this guy's, he's been in the system a long time, he's done a lot, and wow, I really like this person. But is that the right person for the job at this moment in history? Is that the person that can go across the aisle and ask questions? Is that the person that's relatable? Because I think so often in California, we've elected people, and we do this politically all the time, on the good old boy system versus, is this the right person? Is this the person that people can relate to? You know, somebody, and I'm not going to say what gubernatorial candidate, I'll get it out one of these times, but somebody asked me about, but they said, what do you think about person A and person B? I said, well, person A is more relatable. In a general election, person A is kind and sweet and has this very humble demeanor about that person, whereas this other person is just kind of arrogant and unapproachable and whatever. And pardon me for saying, but not that it's just about that, but I'd rather have somebody that can talk to somebody's heart instead of their head, that the people that can relate to, that's a fighter, that maybe has some political things to learn, versus someone that's going to get in a general and they're going to mop the floor with them because they appear to be just another swamp creature, just another rhino, just another Alex Padilla. And that's why I think it's so important on June 7th and on November 3rd when we make our choices. We have to make the choice about who is the sword, the dagger, and the spear that can take out these dictators versus, well, who's the nice guy? Or this person has a history of X, Y, or Z. Okay, that's great. But can they win? And if they have a track record proving that they can't, we really need to, you know, we really just need to think differently. I think that's what this time in history is requiring, gentlemen. that we think differently and we be bold. And honestly, as Americans, we do what we did in 2015. We shake up the apple cart.
I agree. Now, hey, I want to go get back to the question I was going to ask earlier.
Please.
It's the water issue. That's a federal issue. So we know, since we live here up in Shasta County, where Shasta Dam is, where Shasta Lake is, that collects water from multiple rivers here in the North State, and then it feeds it down the Sacramento River all the way to the Delta, where it's being wasted and lost. And now some of our local water districts are getting absolutely zero water in this county where the water starts the flow downhill. They are getting zero water. So that's for the farmers and the ranchers who raise crops and livestock. So how on earth can the state break the contracts with them and their water districts like that? And how can you help as a representative of the people for the state of California regarding water? That's huge. I mean, whiskey's for fighting or drinking, but water is for fighting. And so that's the biggest thing, especially when we live in a Mediterranean climate where water is essential to our survival. How can you help our people in the great state of California, specifically the North State, where the water starts and goes downhill? How can you help them with the water issues?
Great question. Well, I'm the only candidate in the race that's been to Stanislaus County two times. I've talked to the farmers up there. I've talked to so many folks up there that have talked about the water issue, and I think getting people that know about it and have a lot of experience with it, obviously you can talk to the farmers all day long, and that's important because you need to know the voice of the people. But my friend Christy Bruce Lane, that's running for state assembly in District 76. You know, she's dealt with these water issues for years, knows a lot about it. Heck, she went to school for it. And I think it's a state and federal problem. And the reason why I go to that is because when you talk to these farmers, man, you hear just for years and decades, whether it's the endangered fish issue and the algae problem and every, you know, all these environmental folks that try to create these issues, you know, pretty soon there'll be a white bunny rabbit as the reason why we can't have water up there. But it's the bureaucracy in Sacramento and the bureaucracy in D.C., just like what we're doing in Arizona with taking our power. Whoever designed that deal was a moron. And in order to not blow up the grid, we get renewable energy. Everybody gets panels, electrical panels on their houses, but now we're paying Arizona to take the rest of our leftover electrical energy so that we don't short circuit the grid. I mean, like, that's the type of nonsense that's gone on for decades in this state, and you guys know, because I'm a tadpole compared to you guys, of how long you've had to live through it, and I think it all boils down to control. So I
Absolutely.
Think we need to do a lot more state and federal partnerships. And I was saying this on stage at Rise Church on Friday, and then I said it last week wherever we were, because I can't remember. But we've just been going up and down the state. What I said was is we need to be using our power, money, and influence, right? And what I mean by that is Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, there's power, money, and influence there. There's capital that they've raised within their campaigns. They have people that can open certain doors that others couldn't. Why aren't they getting into politicians like that? Why aren't they using that political capital, not only from a federal standpoint, but from a state standpoint? Because I'd love to tell you guys, I'd love to say, oh, well, I'm going to do this on day one. I'm going to pass this bill, and we'll cut off funding, and there's going to be water flowing down California immediately. But I'd be lying to you if I said that. And I'm just not a liar. I'm not good at it. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say I can get water flowing tomorrow. I'm not going to promise a farmer that, because then I'm just another old politician. But what I can do is partner shoulder to shoulder with people like Carlos Zapata in Shasta County, who's a good friend of mine, people like Brian Isley in Orange County, people like Sean Fredrickson, people like Sharon to Let Them Breathe in San Diego, Amy Riker to reopen San Diego, all these groups that I know and I have access to, and we can see what it's like for these politicians like Shifty Shift or even from a statewide level, Dick Pan, to pass these draconian bills at a state and federal level that don't benefit Americans and don't benefit Californians. And when you get 500 to 1,000 people to walk out of the most wealthiest company in their district, and you take money out of their district, and you take votes out of their pocketbook, people are going to start to think differently. Politicians will start to think differently.
But that we
so
have to,
I think ultimately,
but you have to wait for those things to occur. We need action, and that's, and no disrespect, but when you mentioned Stanislaus earlier, that's half a state away from here. That's 5 hours away from us. That's half a state away. And so it's the southern tip of Jefferson when we decide to create the state of Jefferson. That's the southernmost county in the 23 counties that would be Jefferson. Now, my question
goes...
Well,
in a Biden administration, anybody... In a Biden administration, and even from a state level, I would say, anybody that claims from a state or federal standpoint that they can fix the water problem tomorrow is a liar.
Well, no,
and
that's
a fact. That's
no, I'm not asking you to state that claim. What I'm saying is, what I would like to have you do is meet with the water people that are living up here that are experts in what's going on with
Mark
the water.
Baird.
Mark Baird, Marshall, other people,
Richard Marshall,
those people of Siskiyou County where the issues have begun.
Set up a meeting. Let's do it.
And they have been fighting the fight for years. And to no avail because of all the criminals that are running our state and even in the federal level and state level. So, and not one of our representatives, our assembly or senate, have ever done anything, taken the torch or taken the baton and ran with it. Not one of them.
There's the Klamath Dam issue, too. But anyway.
So those are the things.
Yeah,
that's the reason I'm asking. That's
we do
why
have
I'm
a
so
caller on the line.
That's why I'm so passionate about it. We
I'd
need
like
to get
to
it resolved.
Real quick, if I could.
Okay. Just hold on one sec, okay? Because we've got a caller on the line. Hold your thought. Well, Siskiyou, Steve, do you have a question for Cordy? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Do you have a question? A quick question.
Well, it's more of a statement that, yeah,
okay,
get your little rear end up here in Siskiyou County because this is where the action is,
okay,
right up here.
Okay.
I can get you an appointment with Richard Marshall. He's a good friend of mine, and he's a real advocate about the water. But the other thing is the fires. You know, Sally, work with Sally, has been in the Senate or the government in California for 10-plus years, and he's done nothing for our fires. We're probably looking at another year of major smoke once again, and the only way you're going to get anything done is to educate the people. You can't run around, you know, America or California telling what you're going to do. You got to tell the people what they can do if they want to step up. It's the people who run the Constitution. Thank you very much.
Okay. Actually, the thing is that, and Cordy, I want you to finish your thought. Just to clarify, Brian Daly is the state senator. What Cordy is running for is the United States Senate.
But he was just stating that they've never
that they haven't done anything.
Yeah.
But that would have been Doug Lamalfa, our congressman. Anyway, Cordy, please finish your statement there, brother.
Yeah, no. All I was going to say, and respectfully, I'll meet with anybody. Here's my point.
Sure.
I'll meet with anybody that you guys set up a meeting. I'm happy to always have a meeting.
Sure.
Especially with people that know more about an issue than I do. And there's no way you can walk into politics or even live in California 9 years and understand the full issues of what people have gone through until you talk to the farmer that's dealt with that. You talk to the guy that's been trying to, just make it in this state with gas taxes. You've got a tax for everything. You know, if you wipe your tail the wrong way, there's a tax for that too, probably coming down the pipe. And so I'm willing to have a meeting with anybody.
Well, you've got Mark Baird.
That is an expert on.
We have
on
Mark Baird who.
Issues.
Okay, we have Mark Baird who was the president of Protect Our Water. We have him on the line right now. The gentleman we were talking about, he just called in, and we have him on the line right now, Cordy. So, Mark, what do you have for Cordy?
Well, what I want to say is the water. Hi, Cordy. What I want to say is the water situation up here is criminal. It's been criminal for probably 50 years or more, and it continues to be criminal. And we can handle this, but we have to stop going along and getting along. We were at a function last night for the Farm Bureau, and all they talked about is, well, how can we cooperate? How can we give up our lives and our livelihoods and still manage to save some semblance of food production and fiber production for the state of California? I mean, our counties are surrounded by all the wealth in the world. We have timber mining, farming. We have rare earth minerals. We have geothermal. We have hydroelectric facilities, all of which the state of California is interested in ripping out so that we could become a big national park and save the environment so that the people of China and India and Africa can continue to pollute. I say no. I say stand. I say fight, because they can't get away with these things unless we allow it. And we can fix the situation immediately simply by returning federal management of state lands back to the state. We can stop all this stuff in a heartbeat. We can. We don't have a water problem in California. We have a water management problem in California. Droughts in the western United States are very common. Just cut down a tree and look at the tree rings. If you doubt that, you can look back 2,000 years and find droughts that last 100, 150 years. We have water. We just need to store the water until we need it and find ways to move it around to where it's needed. And that can be done,
Mark,
but the people of this state don't want to do it. The government doesn't want to do it.
Mark, do you think, I've heard different things from different people, this is Cordy Williams here, I've heard different things from different people, whether I've talked to Christy Lane about it, or whether I've talked to, you know, the average farmer in Stanislaus. You know, in your eyes, what's an action step that a state legislator or state senator could do tomorrow to help this situation? Because different people had said that it's a storage issue. And then what do you think that a senator could do? Because I'd rather go directly to you. You're the expert. What's something we could do on day one that would benefit you?
Introduce legislation returning federal lands to state management. That would be something a United States senator could do.
That would be within the jurisdiction, yes. That would be, yes.
Yeah. And then from within the state, the thing that another thing a United States senator could do and a state senator could do is introduce legislation to break this state in half, because that is the only way to stop the thievery and the lying and the evil that's occurring in Sacramento, is break this state up so that they have less power over the people who formed the government that was supposed to secure their liberty.
Okay. Okay, thanks for that feedback, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Appreciate it. Okay, bye.
I think
hey, Cordy, remember, just so you're aware, too, not only was Mark, you know, the former president of the water group up there, and he has a vast amount of knowledge of the water issues. He is also a fire pilot. He flies those giant airplanes that drop all the fire retardant on all the fires in the North State and all over the country and all over the world. So he has unique experience, not from only the ground level, but from the air level. So he has seen it for many years. He understands it on every level. So he is a great resource, along with Richard Marshall. They would be people that you could spend several hours with, and your head would explode with all the data and information and truth and fact. But it would be time well served for you to meet with them.
And I will go ahead and I'll text you his number and all his information too, Cordy, so the two of you can get together.
I'll get Kelly on the phone, my assistant on the phone, the next 2 days. I know we're going to be coming up near y'all several times, and we will get it planned. We will get it booked, and we'll do it. You know, the other thing I was going to say to you guys, you know, I'm always about, hey, I'll put forth legislation. I want people to understand this. And anything that's common sense, it's kind of like the gas tax the other day that Kevin Kiley put up there. It's like the fact that that wasn't passed, and we didn't step past this partisan squabble and this partisan crap, and that our state legislators weren't willing to do something for the people, shows the scumbags that they are, just all across the board. So I think it's great to say, I mean, certainly I will meet with Mark and with the other experts, and I'm happy to do that. And I'm happy to put up legislation that benefits California, always. But I think the other thing we have to think about, and I'm just always going to kind of lovingly push back on this, is that we can put it up there, and that'll get people excited, and that'll say, hey, we're doing something. But the other thing we have to think about on the back end, humbly and respectfully, is it passed.
Well, yeah, and that's a good point.
And I'm not saying don't do it. It's worth it for so many reasons.
Well, let me clarify that.
That's where the civil disobedience comes in.
Yes, I understand, but let me clarify that. What Mark said was federal. The jurisdiction of what's going on in Sacramento is no jurisdiction at all for a United States senator.
Right.
There is no jurisdiction in any of that. Okay, let me just land my plane here. So what's happened is that a lot of times, in looking at what we can do federally, like changing it, I'm not saying that there can't be a partnership between state and federal, but basically the state has to adopt what happens here. When you go looking for something to where you want to change something, to where you take federal management and you turn that back into the state, you're looking at 100 people that are going to be voting on that. It's not the state legislative body, because you still have jurisdiction over a lot of the water issues. And that's, I think, the point that we've been trying to make, was to separate the two. When it's state jurisdiction and federal jurisdiction, and sometimes they're apples and oranges.
Correct. Now, hey, another quick thing too, Cordy. One of the things that one of our listeners wants to know is, we wanted to ask, how do we protect ourselves from present and future federal emergency powers? How would you help with that?
Well, you know, I mean, I think we need a check and balance. The Senate, I think, needs to strongly look at putting forth legislation to, you know, for decades we haven't had any check for these executive orders. I mean, you look at how many different executive orders. I think in Obama's administration, I think it was into the thousands. I think I heard like 2,000 or something executive orders. I think it was the most in presidential history at one point. I think Trump was maybe a quarter or a half of that. And whether you agree with the executive order or whether you don't, that's not the point. For us to have taken these suggestions, which Doug Gibbs, my good friend, taught me this early on when he was educating me and I was learning from him, that an executive order is a suggestion.
Okay.
For a governor to be given these emergency power authorizations that have been rigged and not really have an expiration date, or he gets to set the expiration date, and the only check and balance is, I think it was 2/3 majority. There's two ways that the emergency order in California can end. And the first way, we were talking about it the other night at the town hall, the first way is, I think, for the governor to actually end it. And then the second way is a 2/3 majority. And Brian Jones, who endorsed me recently, spoke out and said that they put forth that legislation or that bill, I think, a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And then it was tabled in committee for like 9 months, and it just came out. They finally brought it forth, I think, 2 months ago, and it failed. So.
Okay. Hey, Cordy. I hate to cut you off on that. We're up against the clock, and it's going to be a hard break here in a second. But we need to get your information out. So how do people get in touch with you or follow you or whatever? So give us all your information really quickly.
Yeah, you can go to cordy4senate.com, C-O-R-D-I-E, number 4senate.com. It's cordy4senate.com. And, gentlemen, I appreciate all your time today. I thought I learned a lot and love the dialogue.
All right, we appreciate you coming on.
Cordy,
thank you, Cordy.
Dr. Cordy Williams running for...
God bless you guys.
God bless you, man. Cordy Williams running for the Senate of the United States for California. But time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
You don't know us. You have no clue. And still you're telling us what to do. We don't know you or what you face. It's time to start a brand new state. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind. Jefferson, state of mind, carved from lessons we all learned through time. And to my new state, I will always be true. G-
She's gonna shine in the red, white, and blue.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.